All right. John 21. Amen. Good news. Always stop for good news. Amen. Amen. John 21. The Lord still works. He's not dead. He's still alive. We used to sing that in children's church. God's not dead. He's still alive. Amen. I feel Him in my hands. I feel Him in my feet. I feel Him in my heart. I feel Him in my soul. Woo! Feel Him all over me. That's the way the song kids love. Kids love. All right. John 21. I hope you got your Bible today. And I want to help you. Look, my job is not to beat you up or straighten you out. That's the Holy Spirit's job. My job is to help you. If I can't help you, then I'm failed. And so I want to help you today. So I want you to get your Bible, and I want you to pay close attention. Very well-known passage of Scripture. Most of you already know it, growing up in Sunday school, if you did. I didn't. First time I ever read this story, I cried. And when I first got saved, I cried a lot. And I could see Jesus standing on that shore talking to me. And so today you put yourself in the position of the disciple, okay? That He's talking to you. That's why the book was written, that you could have faith in the Word of God, okay? Look at John 21. We're going to read a long passage, but I have to for the whole story. After these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed He Himself. There were together Simon, Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of His disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered, No. And He said unto them, Cast ye thy net on the other side of the ship, and on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John who wrote this book, said unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and had cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, and 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask Him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed Himself to His disciples after that He was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, and girded thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Peter's death he's talking about here. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Follow me. A very familiar passage. I want to take it, and just after we pray, and I want to ask you something. What are you eating? What are you eating? Or what are you feeding others? Amen? In this story, Jesus has been crucified. He's resurrected. And this was the third time that he appears to these disciples. The last time he appeared to them, after he left, they got discouraged. And instead of waiting on him to give them specific instruction, Peter says, I'm going fishing. And so some of the other guys said, we're going to go fishing too, because that's what we did and made a living at fishing. So let's just go back at what we did. Let's go back how we made a living and what we know to do. And so Jesus, he appears to them while they're fishing, and they've wasted all night long. Caught nothing. And he's standing over on the shore, and they don't even know who he is. It's about daybreak, still dark. And he's standing over there, and he's got a fire there. And he hollers at them, said, children, do you have any meat? And they said, no, we fished all night. We've caught nothing. In other words, we wasted our time. He said, just cast your net on the other side. And the Bible says they obeyed him without really knowing who he was at first. And they said, well, we've tried everything else. Let's just see what this old guy's saying, if it's any good. One more time. So they cast it out, and it was so full of fish, the Bible says they couldn't hardly bring them in. They had to drag them in. And said, John, he realized who it was when that miracle happened, and he said, it's the Lord. You remember the first time you ever realized it's the Lord? And he said, it's the Lord. And Peter jumped up. And if you know Old Testament teaching and New Testament teaching, it says he was naked, but anything above the knee in the Bible is nakedness. So he had on his little fisherman short type thing, but he didn't want to go to the Lord like that. So he threw his cloak on him, his coat on him, and he dove into water to swim to shore. And when he got there, he saw the Lord. And then the others came in, and they brought their little boat. It wasn't far out. And they had so many fish, they thought it would break, but it didn't. And they drug them into shore. And they thought that he was going to take their fish and he was going to feed them something. But then they looked over there, and he said, come and dine. He already had fish. And he already had bread. And it was on the fire, and it was already done. And there's just a bigger miracle in that as there was in hauling in that net full of fish, because he didn't fish. Where did he get that from? He created it, amen? Just like the little loaves and the little fishes where he fed all those thousands. He didn't have that much. He created that much. And the creator of the universe had, he had created out of nothing a breakfast from heaven for these guys. He didn't fuss at them. He didn't say, you're out of God's will. You ought not be out there fishing. You ought to be doing what I told you to do, and you're not doing what I told you to do. But as a father, he fed his children that morning. Well, I can imagine what they ate. Can you imagine that? Fish from heaven. Bread from heaven. Amen. Right out of the creator of the universe's hand. He had created them and put them on the fire. He created the fire. Back then you had to carry the fire with you. There wasn't matches or anything. So they'd carry a little metal thing full of hot coals whenever they would travel. And they'd take those hot coals and they'd build a fire. But not him. He's creator of the universe. He didn't have to carry that with him. He created the fire. He created the wood. He created the fish. He created the bread. And he created them the best breakfast they ever had. They had a heavenly breakfast. Now, there's some reasons other than just being a wonderful story. It's a wonderful story. I love this story. But there's more to it than that. I want you to notice the story shows the uselessness of labor without the blessings of Jesus Christ. They fished all night and caught nothing. And it shows that the disciples were restless, and they went back to their old life instead of waiting on the Lord for further instructions. Sometimes that's what we do. You ever heard it? Let's do something, even if it's wrong. You know, we do things. I'm bad about that myself. You weren't supposed to say, yeah, there, Brother Billy. Jesus appears on the shore, and in that dim morning light, he invited them, listen, he invited them to something that they did not create, they had no part in, and it was not their daily labor, but his labor that created that. You're not going to get anything from God by what you do. You're only going to get from God by what he does. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't work to be good enough to get the blessings of God. You'll never be good enough. It only takes one sin to cancel out all the rest of it. Poor Holroyd, he's bad about getting on Facebook now and getting saying things and being attacked by people he ought to block and delete. And he wants to give people a voice. And this preacher's wife, come on, he said something yesterday. I forgot what it was. It was good. But this preacher's wife got on there who has attacked him before. And he was saying something about knowing the truth of God's word. And here's her question. What is truth? Who's truth? So he was trying. He told me he's trying to be nicer to people on there so he don't run them off. But sometimes you just have to run people off or delete them. So I put down there in the comments, I said, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. As far as I know, she had no comment on that. There is truth. And the Word of God's truth. And when Pilate was questioning Jesus about truth, he said, you're looking at truth. He said, I'm truth. The Word of God's truth. The ways of God are truth. Look, and what we have to do, we have to look for the truth in the Word of God. We can't work it up. We can't make it up. We can't build it up. It's got to come from a miraculous intervention of a God of the universe. Amen? And then there was a few things here I think we might ought to look into as believers and unbelievers. Number one, as a believer, as a Christian, somebody who has accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior or hers. Now, the Bible, there's two applications in the Bible. Listen to me real close now. I'm not going to get complicated. I'm a simple man. I know that complicated stuff and I avoid it. As a believer in Jesus Christ, that is somebody who has admitted they were a sinner, believed on Jesus Christ, turned from their sin and called on him to save them. They've received him as their Savior. They've been born again. That's a believer. Okay? That's a believer. It's that simple. Now, the first application of the Bible is always to the believer. The book was written to believers. It does not surprise me when an unbeliever reads the Bible and they get confused and they criticize the Bible because 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, for the natural man understandeth not things of the Spirit, for they're spiritually discerned. And Ephesians chapter 2 says those people are blind and they're lost and they're dead in trespass and sin. How can a dead person read a live book and understand it? They can't. So don't be surprised when they criticize you for the Word of God. They don't understand it. They can't see it. Right? So the first application of this is to the believer. Who's he talking to? He's talking to those of us who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just in him. The whole world believes in him. History, you couldn't deny it. But on him. We put it all on him. If we die and go to hell, it will be trust in him and him alone. Amen. His finished work. So as the believer, I looked at this and I saw something in verse 5. In verse 5, look at it again. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? In other words, he said, what are you catching? What are you catching, fellas? You've been fishing all night. Do you have any meat? Now, in the King James Version, meat it means food. It could mean grain. It could be fish. It could be cattle. It could be anything. But that word meat in the King James Bible means something to eat. Do you have anything to eat? And they said, no, sir. They didn't know who he was. They said, no, sir, we fished all night. We've caught nothing. So the first thing I thought, as a believer, I thought, what am I catching? Some believers ain't never caught nothing but a cold. They've never won a soul to Christ. They've never influenced lost people. They've never even won their own children, their own grandchildren to the Lord. What are you catching as a believer? And then I thought about this in verse 6. Well, look at verse 3. He says they worked all night. In verse 3, it says, Simon Peter said, and they go, and they entered the ship, and that night they caught nothing. So they fished all night. They wasted their time. The answer was no. But in verse 6, look at this. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. And they cast, therefore, now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. In other words, the net was so heavy they couldn't hardly get it up there, and they didn't get it into the boat. If you'll go ahead and read, they had to drag it up on shore. So I thought about, as a believer, he tells them how to solve their problem. He tells them how to solve their problem. Listen to me, folks. You don't need to ask your cousin Vinny, who took a class in counseling, to help you solve your problem. You need God to solve your problem. You don't need to watch CNN, NBC, MSNBC, ABC, whatever that is you watch to try to solve the world's problems. The world's problems can only be solved by the Creator of the world. Our problems will not be solved by a man that I voted for who has a bad hairdo. As wonderful a businessman he is, and I think he is, and I think he'll push, and listen, he's not going to get discouraged because people protest, because he's been in big business and there's been people that didn't like him for a long time and he kept right on going. That ain't going to affect him. But I'm not looking to my president to solve my problems. He can't do it. He can't do it. It's only by the grace of God he can solve national problems, much less individual problems like you and I have. So I thought about that. As a believer, he tells them how to solve the problem. Well, how's that, preacher? Look at verse 8. In verse 8, he says, and the other disciples came in a little ship. And so what he told them, you do what I say, you come to me, and I'll solve the problem. They brought their ships up to the shore. They came to the Lord after he told them how to cast it and where to cast it. He said, cast it on the other side. Their nets got full. And then their little boat came up to the shore and they drug it up to the one that solved the problem. If we'll take our problems to the Lord, he'll solve them. And then after he solves them, if we'll give him the glory and the credit for it, he'll keep on solving. But here's the problem. They didn't do like most Baptists. Most Baptists would have caught those fish and then they would have drug them up there on the shore. And the next day somebody said, I heard y'all got a boatload of fish. They said, yeah, man, ain't we good. We tried some new lures. We tried some new tactics. And boy, we caught a boatload of fish, but not here. They caught them by doing what he said, and then they drug them up and gave them at the feet of the one that solved the problem. They didn't take credit for it. They didn't give anybody else any credit. And then I thought about this as a believer, but when they were through obeying, they found... Now, hold on to this. When they were through obeying, they fished all night, they were discouraged. He said, cast it to the other side. They cast it to the other side. They pulled in all the fish. They drug them up there to the shore. And when they came back to the one that told them what to do, and they were finished obeying him, he had no further orders, I want you to notice what happened then. He already had prepared something better for them than what they wanted. You say, now, wait a minute, preacher, they ate bread and fish. Well, I'll give you a choice. Do you want to eat the raw fish, or would you like to eat some good old cooked fish that the Lord cooked? Amen? Now, if you like sushi, I think I can get a counselor to help you, but not real sure. But, if you don't know what sushi is, it's mess. That time I saw that little boy up at the Chinese restaurant eating that pretty stuff off that sushi bar. He was just loading it. He was about 8 or 9, 10 years old, just loading up that plate. And I stood there and looked at him. Finally, I said, son, do you know what that is? He said, It looked like dessert, don't it? Sushi looks like dessert. I said, it's raw fish, son. He said, oh. And whoever ate it deserved it. But anyway, Which do you want? Do you want the raw fish or the heavenly fish that he created out of nothing and he cooked them for you? Now, a lot of people, here's why I'm saying it. A lot of people, they are satisfied with just getting a prayer answered. But he's got a lot better than just answering our prayers. Hey, he desires not only to hear our prayers, answer our prayer, but give us more than we ever thought or asked. And us poor old Baptists, you know, pray for me. I'm having such a hard time. I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. And my knee hurts, and my back hurts, and my neck hurts, and my head hurts, and my wife don't give me no respect, my kids don't listen to me, and my boss man gives me a hard time. Ooh, pray for me. That's the way Baptists are. When he should say, thank God I got a wife, thank God I got some children, thank God I got a house, thank God I got a job where I can have a boss man. Amen. Amen. God's already answered his prayers. He just don't know it. And a lot of Christians are like that. And boy, they thought when they brought the fish up there and the net was full, they said, woo, what an answer to prayer. But they got up there and they got so much better. Cooked fish and heavenly bread on the fire waiting on. Created by the creator of the universe. Best cook in the world. Amen. Most Baptists, like those children of Israel, they were out in that wilderness, you know, for 40 years for disobedience in the first place. And they wandered around, and God said, well, don't worry about it. I love you anyway, and I'm going to take care of you. And they got to complaining about their food. So God sent them some manna. He said, every morning, go out there and pick it up. It's about the size of a coriander seed. I think he meant grits. But anyway, and they'd go out there and they'd pick it up. And you wouldn't even have to cook it. You could, but you didn't have to. And they would eat it. I looked up that word manna. It means angel food. God gave them angel food cake every morning. Amen? And you know what they did? After a while, they got complaining about the angel food. They said, our soul loathes this light bread. Now, you won't never hear nobody in America say that. We'd lose 50 pounds if we did. But they said, our soul loathes this light bread. We want some meat. So he gave them meat. And he gave them so much meat, they made gluttons out of themselves. And they'd eat so much, it would come out of their nostrils while they was eating. It's the truth. That's in the Bible. Go read the Bible. Amen. And you know what that tells me? They wasn't thankful for what they had. God took care of them there in the wilderness. They wasn't thankful. And then we get saved. And we're so happy God saved us. And then we go a little while and then we start griping. He might have saved me, but he didn't give me what he gave Rick. And he didn't give me what he gave David. And he didn't give me what he gave Holroyd. And Lord, I'll shut up and praise God. He's already give you what you need and more than what you need. A whole lot more than we deserve. These guys didn't deserve nothing. They were as backslid as any Baptist you ever met out there in the middle of the boat at night when they were told to be fishers of men, when they were told to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He walked up to them one day and he breathed on them. He said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And he breathed on them and he gave them the Holy Spirit, and there they were fishing again. Lack of faith, that's all it was. And as a believer, I look at that, and then I thought about this. The Lord maybe, well, I know he did. He gave me this, and here's what I thought. Why don't you let him feed you and lead you? Now, they were happy to get the food, but why don't we let him feed us and lead us and quit fishing? Why don't we just quit fishing? Now, I'm not talking about it's a sin to fish. It is if you go with me because you won't catch nothing. I've never been on a successful fishing trip. I haven't, never, since I've been saved. We'll get up a bunch of men, go fishing down beach pier, and that last fish, people's catching 100 that day each. And when we get there, that last fish is swimming out across that pier going up to us. That's happened twice to me. And they'll say, we don't know what happened. I say, I know what happened. You took Jonah. And Billy's daddy and his uncle told me one time, said, and Wayne Henson said, I'll tell you where you can catch fish. Anybody can catch fish. Your kid that don't even know how to fish can catch fish. Down there at the Chester Lake at Chester Park, there's so many brim down there, they'll jump in your boat. And yesterday we caught a bucket full each. And I said, okay, let's go. So I went down there and we got out there in those old paddle boats, those flat bottom boats, you know, and I had me a bucket ready to catch me a bucket full. And I had me some worms and everything. And we fished for about 3 hours, and I didn't catch a stinking thing. Nobody else did. I said, I'm going home. And I went home, and that next day, Wayne Henson, one of them, came to church and said, listen, you left too early. Said, each one of us got a bucket full. I said, no, God doesn't want me to do that kind of fishing. That ain't the kind of fishing he wants me to do. Amen? And so what we ought to do, we ought to quit fishing in our life and trying to get all these things and get all this stuff accomplished and say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. If you don't want me to have any fish, you won't get any. But if you want me to, I'll cast my net wherever you want me to cast. Maybe I don't need a car. Maybe I don't need another car. Maybe I don't need this. Maybe I don't need that. Lord, I'm not going to go fishing after that stuff. I'm going to pray about it, and I'm going to trust you with it, and I'm going to keep doing what I'm supposed to do. And if you want me to have a new car, you'll open the door. If you want me to have a new house, you'll open the door. I'm not fishing for that stuff. There's too many people dying going to hell. My grandkids need a Christian example. My children need a Christian example. My neighbor, my friends, they need somebody that's fishing for God, not themselves all the time. You know, why don't you just quit? Why don't you just eat what he puts in front of you? How many of y'all, when you was growing up, you older people, younger ones don't answer because you'll embarrass your parents? How many older people growing up, your mom and dad set you something on the plate and slid up there in front of you and you said, I'm not going to eat that. If you did, you didn't live. Somebody slap you right in the face. Your daddy said, I worked hard for that food. And your mama would say, I've slaved over a hot stove all day. There wasn't no Hardee's. And you'll eat it or you won't eat. Amen. So why don't we just, God puts stuff in front of us. We say, hey, Lord, that ain't good as my neighbor's got. Shut your mouth. That's in the original Greek. Shut us thine mouth. Amen. Hey, why don't we just take what God gives us sometimes? And you know what? If you'll take what he gives you, he'll give you more. You will not read where those guys left hungry. You'll never read where the children of Israel ever went hungry. Why don't you eat the salvation he's given you? Why don't you receive that salvation? Why don't you quit looking for something to add to the food of salvation he's fed your soul? It's all you need. It's the angel food that you need. The salvation in Jesus Christ, you don't need nothing else. There's nothing else on planet Earth. There's none other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. Jesus Christ is the way. There's no other way. He's the gate. There's no other gate. He's the veil. There's no other veil. He is the truth. There's no other truth. Why don't you take the salvation he's already offered you? We've been studying cults in the Bible Institute. You ought to come tomorrow night. We're still studying them. And cults have just enough truth in them to get people confused because it's got that much truth and that much error. Because people want to find a different way. They don't want to be saved the old-fashioned way, by belief on Christ. Why don't you take the comfort he gives you? Did you know there's some people refuse to take the comfort that God sends to them through the Holy Spirit? Is his name not Comforter? Why don't we take the comfort that he gives us? If you'll receive that comfort, you won't need that pill. You won't need that joint. You won't need that alcohol. Those things don't give comfort. They just give numbness. Won't you take the comfort he gives you? Well, preacher, you don't know how hard my life is. Yeah, but I know the comforter. And by the way, there's been a lot of people live with worse troubles than you got that trusted the comforter. And they received him. They received. They ate that. Amen. And then I thought, what about the hope? Why don't we just receive His hope? I mean, His hope. Are you going to heaven? Sure I am. How you know? My hope is in Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. My hope's all on Him. I can't help Him with my salvation. I couldn't help Him to get saved. I can't help Him to stay saved. I can't help Him. So my hope, why don't we just receive that hope that it's all Him or it's not Him at all? And I thought, why don't we just receive, eat that peace that He gives us? The Bible says He gives us peace that passes all understanding. Why don't we receive that? Why don't we receive the joy that He feeds us? Most Baptists on Sunday morning look like they've been eating persimmons. Bless me if you can, preacher. A lot have tried and failed. Why don't you receive the joy of the Lord is our strength? The joy of the Lord will take you through things you thought you could never go through. Amen? The rest of us, we've been through those dark valleys. We've been through the valley of the shadow of death. We've been to the hospital room. We've been to the doctor's office. We've been to the breakups and the bitter things that happen in our lives. And we keep the joy of the Lord because I keep receiving it. It's not a one-time thing. He feeds me that every day. Why don't we eat the love that He gives us? Why don't we receive it? I mean, the love of God, the Bible says, is shed abroad in our heart. That shouldn't be real hard to love people when you've got the love of God in there. I don't hate anybody. I pity some people. I dislike the way some people live and walk and talk and act and dress and all those other things. But I don't hate anybody. I can't. The love of God's in me. God is love. And He moved in. If God's in here, how can I hate? Why don't we eat that? Why don't we receive that? There's some bitter Baptists. We'll have a new denomination and call it the Bitter Baptist Fellowship. There's some mean. There's some mean and bitter, unforgiving, unforgetting, and they just sit around waiting. They carry a baseball bat in their back pocket, waiting to hit somebody in the head when they do something wrong or rub them the wrong way. Bitter Baptist Fellowship. I don't want to be a part of that. Amen? Why don't we receive? I'll tell you why. Those guys were out there fishing, and fishing wasn't like this then. They had to work. They had to separate those nets and cast them and bring them back in and separate them and cast them. And they worked all night. They ain't caught nothing. They could have been mad. They could have said, if they'd been Baptist, they would say, Lord, don't love me. He's not blessing me. The reason a lot of Christians are like that is because, listen, you don't want to be happy. You don't want joy. You don't want peace. You don't want love. You don't want forgiveness. Your flesh is done reared up, and you're going to refuse to take those things, because if you take those things, then you're going to have to change your mind about what you've been thinking and who you've been hating and what you've been doing. Listen. Christian, once you've received everything He has to offer, look at verse 18. I got to hurry. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walk as well as thou would. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou goest. And the next verse talks about Peter being crucified. Doesn't use that word, but it says, because he says he's talking this about Peter and what's going to happen to him. And here's what he's saying. When you was young, somebody had to take care of you. I ain't going to tell you what my mama told me when I was a teenager and I made her mad one day, but she told me the things she had to do when I was a baby. And she'd kill me after going through all that. You know, if I didn't do what she wanted, she'd just soon kill me, you know. But it's true. We take these little babies, we've got to lead them around, we've got to dress them, we've got to feed them, and then they grow up and they kind of, we hope, they're going to take care of themselves. Amen? But he said, but when you get old, somebody's going to have to take care of you again. And he said, Peter, you're going to get old. And right now, you're a pretty brawny fella. You can say, I won't die, and I won't do this, and I won't do that. He said, but, and he's telling Peter, right now, listen, Peter, you're going to get old, and somebody else is going to lead you around, and it's going to be God, and he's going to lead you straight to a death you don't even want. Watch out, Christian. Watch out. We need him. We need him every hour. And then, but then he asked Peter something. He started asking him questions. He said, Peter, do you love me? Now, he asked him three times, and the reason was Peter denied the Lord three times. Do you remember? So three times he's making him to confess and repent of his sins and tell him he loves him. He denied him three times. You don't deny somebody you love. And he said, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, thou knowest. And I think he did it ashamedly. Wouldn't you agree with me that Peter was probably ashamed of what he did? Turn the air conditioning on. Don't put it on six like where you live. Put it on. But don't you think that Peter was ashamed for denying the Lord? And so when the Lord said, Peter, do you love me? He knew exactly what he was doing. Peter knew what Jesus was saying. And he said, Lord, you know I love you. Well, I would make you cry to think about that. He said, okay, Peter, if you love me, you feed these little lambs. Now, he says lamb once. He says sheep twice, because I really believe that Jesus said, suffer the little children come unto me. I think that we're to feed the lambs first. I think we're to feed the little ones first. Thank you, Rick. I think, look, in our families, in our churches, we're to watch out for the little ones first. Feed them the Word of God. That's why we have Sunday school. You ought to bring them. That's why we have children's church. We feed those little lambs because they're going to grow up and take our place. But then something surprised Peter. He looked at him again. He said, but Peter, do you love me, Peter? He said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, then feed my sheep. I think he meant those that's sitting right around you right here. Let's feed these sheep right here. And then for the third time, I know this shocked Peter, but he said, Peter, do you love me? And he said, Lord, thou, you know everything. Yes, sir. You know I love you. Now let me tell you something. God knows our heart. And you can fake it if you want to, but you can't fake it with him. And I'm going to tell you something else too. Those sometimes that look like they love him the least really love him the most. And it's in their heart, not in their actions. And God knows it. So don't go kicking people too quick when they're down. Boy, Peter had been a member of that, what did I say it was, the Baptist, Bitter Baptist Fellowship. Boy, they'd have shot him when he denied the Lord three times. They said, I knew he wasn't saved. I knew he was a hypocrite. I knew he was a closet Roman the whole time. But Jesus didn't do that. He didn't even mention what he did. He didn't even mention his failure. He just asked him, do you love me? And you know why he did that, Billy? Because if you'll believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved. And the more I say it, the more I feel it. And the more I confess that I love him, the more I believe it myself. And the more he gives me his presence, I feel him every time I confess it. So the more I want to feel him, the more I want to confess it. And he was bringing Peter back from a dark place. I mean, Peter done fell in with the devil's crowd. He didn't just backslide and quit. He turned against him there for three times. You know what we're supposed to do, Christians? We're supposed to feed the lambs. And we're supposed to feed the sheep. You say, Pastor, that's your job. No, that's all our jobs. My job's feed you so you can feed them. Then, unbeliever, and I won't spend much time on this. I know it's late. But I want to show you verse 12. If you're an unbeliever, I don't know if you have a Bible. Jesus saith unto him, come and dine. Come and dine. And you know what? As an unbeliever, the Lord Jesus Christ has one invitation for the unbeliever. He's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Did you know that God, and I used to think he was, God's not walking around with a book just hunting people to write down their name to cast them into hell. No, your name's in it's in the book of life. Not the Lamb's book of life, but your name is in the book of life in heaven. You were born, so therefore your name is in that book of life. And everybody that's ever born gets their name in the book of life. And God intends for all of those people to end up in heaven. Now, one day you make a decision on whether or not you want to follow the Savior, and then your name is, if you go the wrong way, you reject Him, your name will be blotted out of that book. But if you receive Him, it'll be in the Lamb's book of life when you get there. Now, unbeliever, He has one thing for you. Come and dine. That's all He says to you. It's just come and dine. He don't say quit drinking liquor, smoking dope. He just says come and dine. Come and dine. Let me ask you something. Did you not know that Jesus has what you've been fishing for, unbeliever? He's already got what you've been fishing for. They fished all night for fish, and He already had it on the fire, up on the fire cooking. It was already there. And they fished all night, and He didn't tell them to go fishing. Unbeliever, He's got what you want. Let me ask you this question. Why don't you believe on the Savior? Why don't you receive Him as your Savior? Why don't you ask Him to save you? You've dined everywhere else and you still come up empty. I mean, as lost people, we went all over the place looking for something to satisfy our thirst and hunger, and we found nothing. Every morning the sun come up, and we'd say we fished all night, and I caught nothing. As an unbeliever, you know what you do? You're casting your net in all the wrong places. All over this world. You say, I'm going to try this. And you cast your net over there. And boy, it looks good. I mean, they're all in it, you know, and they're having a good time. Then you pull it in, you pull it up, and you say, well, there ain't nothing there. That don't satisfy me. That doesn't help me. That net's empty. So you go somewhere else, you do the same thing. You cast your net in the waters of sensuality and it comes up empty. And you cast your net in the waters of worldly pleasure and it comes up empty. And you cast your net in that worldly knowledge and it comes up empty. And you cast your net in that worldly wisdom and it comes up empty. And you cast your net into drunkenness and drugs and it comes up empty. And you cast your net into some kind of religion and it comes up empty. And you cast your net into some kind of worldly worship and it comes up empty every time. What did that old country song say? Looking for love in all the wrong places. You're still empty. You still got your net. You're still throwing it out there and you'll look for somewhere every week and it'll come up empty every time. And He's already got what you need sitting up there waiting on you. And one thing about it is, nobody's ever touched it. It's all yours. Just for you. You're kind of like that woman in John chapter 4. She wasn't a good woman. She done been married many times and was shacking up. We say shacking up in South Carolina. Jesus said she was living with a man who was not her husband. She wasn't a good woman, but you know, we look at her, we don't know circumstances, things like that. She was looking for love. She was looking for somebody to care about her. She was just looking at the wrong man.
Amen.
And Jesus looked there and said, look here, you're thirsty.
Yes.
You just don't know what you're thirsty for. And I've got some water. If you'll drink it, you'll never thirst again. Amen. That's enough to make a Baptist shout right there. Amen. You'll never thirst again. She didn't have a clue what he was talking about. So he began to tell her who he was and where he came from. And she said this, Evermore, give me some of that water to drink. And then you know what she did after she finally realized what he's saying? She believed on him, and the Bible says she left her water pot. She left it, and she ran into town, and she said, come see a man who told me all I ever did is not this to Christ. She wasn't thirsty no more, brother. Sitting in that little old Pentecostal church that night, the preacher done give up on you, everybody in church done give up on you. They was ready to quit the service. And you said, wait a minute, I'm still thirsty. I need some of that. And you got saved, amen? Me, sitting over at Eastside Baptist Church, Marksville, 1978, 6th pew on the left. I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, boy, that's what I need. I'm thirsty. I need something. What I'm doing ain't working. God, help me move. And God, help me get up. I ran down there and received a Savior. And I've never looked anywhere else. I'm drinking from the waters that will never run dry. Whew. Boy, that's enough to make a Baptist shout. You look over in John 21, there's what you hungry for? He's got everything you're hungry for. He satisfies. He doesn't just save, he satisfies. Get you some angel food, amen? Get you some of that food from heaven. Jesus said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. You say, well, preacher, I don't know how to do that. I need to quit this, start that, join church, get baptized. I need to quit cussing, running around with all these people. You know, no, you don't have to do anything. He didn't say, all right, fellas, now you can come up here and eat this if you can prove to me how many of those fish you caught. Because they didn't catch none of them. He put them there. He put the fish in the net. They didn't catch nothing. Threw the net over and he created the fish in that net. There wasn't no fish out there. They'd been fishing all night. And they threw the net in. He said, I didn't hear it. It ain't written, but I think he said, be fish. There they are. He couldn't say, how many did you create? He just said, come up here. I got you something to eat. How'd they get it? They received it. Now, you know, if they hadn't have went up there to eat, they'd had to go home and prepared their fish and cooked them and all that stuff. Instead, they just took what the Lord had. And they went up there and they received the fish. And they ate the bread. And he supplied the need. You know, if you're not saved, you know what you have to do? Receive. As many as received him. That's why Jesus said there at the Lord's Supper, he said, eat this. This is my flesh. Drink this. This is my blood. He wasn't saying literally like the Catholic Church teaches. He was saying by faith, receive me. Receive me. I'm the one. I'm the Passover. I'm the creator. I'm the sustainer. I'm the giver of life. Receive me. And today, if you're not saved as an unbeliever, your problem is not that you're drunk. Your problem is you just haven't received him. Your problem not that you're an adulterer. Your problem is you just haven't received him. And today would be a good day to receive him. Unbeliever, receive him. Believer, why don't we start feeding the lambs? Why don't we feed our sheep? Love people, witness to people, encourage people. Bring them to the meal. Let's stand. Come on, brother. Let's stand. Every head bow, every eye closed. Father, you know who we are.